Okay, so this year is, I'm going to call it Simple Pshat versus Deep Pshat. Okay? So it's the essential concept is from the Rashbam, and we'll get to that. But first I want to just show you how Rashi and Ramban try to learn a basic Pshat. The real Chiddush is from the Rashbam. Okay, so... The main point of this year is the more general idea of the idea of Omek HaPshat, of a deep shot, okay? And but like the where it emerges from in the Rashbam is in the story of Mechiras Yosef, right? The selling of Yosef. So let's take a look. It's in Parshas Vayeshev. So Perek Lamed Zayin. We'll start with Pasuk Chaf Gimel. All right, it's like five or six psukim, and then we'll examine a little bit how the what the simple pshat says, and then we'll go to the Rashbam. Okay? So we'll start in Pasuk Chaf Gimel. Vayihi kasher bo Yosef el Achav. So Yosef approached his brothers. Right? This is already after Reuven convinced the brothers not to kill Yosef. Right? Shimon and Levi already wanted to kill him, or whatever. Two of the brothers wanted to kill him. And Reuven said, let's not kill him, let's just throw him in a pit. Right? What Ramban explains is that ultimately it was to Reuven told them there's a difference between killing somebody via dayim actively versus letting somebody die. That's how you convince them. Let's let him die. Let's not actually be murderers, cold-blooded murderers. But the Torah testifies l'man hatzil som yadam l'shiva avav. It was to really ultimately Reuven's intent was to save him. Okay. So then Yosef approaches. Vayushitu as Yosef es kutanto as kasan zapasin shalav. They take off this. You know, this Kisonas Apostle that made them so jealous. And they take Yosef and they throw him into a pit. Okay, an empty pit, no water in it. So the brothers sit down to eat bread. And they lift up their eyes. And they see, and they see, behold, a caravan of Yishmaelim coming from Gilad. Right, Ramban says, how do they know it's coming from Gilad? Ramban says, because they see the path, the road that it was coming from. Ugmaleim nosim nechos utzri valot, holchen lahor mitzrayim. And their camels were loaded with certain spices and certain wares, and they're going down to Mitzrayim. So Ramban explains, how do they know where they're going? Because they see these are the type of things that you bring down to sell to Egypt. Right, how do they know that you're the Yishmaelim? Because they see it from the camels. Yishmaelim were the ones who, I guess, had domesticated the camels or were used to domesticating camels in that area. So they were able to identify the Yishmaelim from the camels. They could see from the wares that they were selling, they're going to Mitzrayim, and they could tell from the road they were traveling on, they came from Gilad. Okay, let's go to Ramban first. We'll go to Rashi. Yeah.
What does Ramban care? How
do
they know?
Pshat. What's Pshat in the Torah? How do they know? They lift up their eyes and they see this, and all of a sudden they know a lot of information just by looking at a distance.
Okay.
So how do they know all this stuff? Were they use telepathy? Were they Nevi'im? Like, how do they know it?
What's the point, though? So why is the Torah telling you?
Why is the Torah telling you this?
Yeah. What is it or what is? Why is it?
Why is it? That's a different type of question. Okay. Different type of question. I mean, like, you know, there's different types of answers you can give to that. Like Rashi says, it wants to teach you... Rashi, he says on a nechos. He says, "Ko knuse besamim harve kari nechos." Whoops, wrong. Utsri. Where was that Rashi? Oh, sorry. Igmaleim nosim lama piersim akasev esmasam. What did the Torah care about what they're carrying? Okay, so this is the drash. Lo dia matan scharin shel tzadikim shein darkam shel arvoyim loses ela neifte ve atran shereichan ra. Lazen is dan besamim shel yuskim shereichan ra. That there was for Yosef was a sort of ashkacha to intervene that he had a good smelling. Usually the Arabs are carrying bad smelling wares that they're known certain types of oils or something or right. Itron is a bad smelling oil, you know, right? So you're not allowed to light the Shabbos candles with it. So, but this was like ashkacha that Yosef was that it was good, good smelling things. I think Rebbe had a pshat. What's the significance of that? So Rebbe once had a pshat that it was because. It was a very psychologically traumatic event for Yosef, being sold by his brothers, down as a slave, and being as a, you know, his whole life was just shaken up in a very quick period of time. and like he was in a psychologically unstable situation. And like had it been like, you know, the certain sometimes a person in that situation where like everything's going wrong. So like a small thing can kind of like put him over the edge and he could break psychologically. But like the fact that it was a good smelling caravan, like that had an impact on him psychologically, and it was like sometimes like that small thing could be the difference between a person being able to keep it together and maintaining his equilibrium or breaking. So Ashkach intervened. It pushed Yosef to the edge. Ashkach was pushing Yosef absolutely to the edge of what he could handle, but it didn't push him over the line. It was like a precise onesh to Yosef. To really, it was trying to get as close to breaking him as possible without destroying him completely. And this was like that fine line. It just shows you like the exactitude of the Hashkacha and what Yosef could handle, what it couldn't. I think Rabbi said it once. Okay. But that's one possibility. And you know, and it's, you know, also just shot, just that's a drash to a certain degree. It's a medrash. Rashi's quoting. But just Ramban is just explaining, you know, how do they know all these things? And it's, you know, I don't know if you can necessarily answer that question on a pshat level. Why is it telling you? Because this is what happened, and this kind of makes the story make sense, you know, and how do you know the events make sense? Okay, Vayomer Yehuda Lechav. So then Yehuda says to his brother, "Ma betza kinarga sachinu v'chisinu esdamo." What profit? What are we going to gain if we kill our brother, let him die in the pit, and we cover up his death? Let us go and sell him to the Yishmaelim, right, who are coming. Right, and he says, what's the difference? If you let him die, it's equal to killing him. Right, you're still a Rotzeach. It's not cold blood, but it's still murder. And the brothers listen to Yehuda. He was the leader. And they listen to him. Right, he's their brother, and then they shouldn't kill him, Yosef. Let's sell him down to Yishmaelim. They're coming from a faraway land. They're going to a faraway land. They're not going to make trouble with Yosef anymore, right? So let's tell him, why kill him? So a new caravan comes, right? These are not Yishmael, these are Midyanim, right? Merchants, Midyanim merchants. And they pull him out. They take Yosef up from the pit. And then they sell him to the Yishmaelim, Esrim Kasef. They sell him to the Yishmaelim. Right, who were these Midyanim in the beginning of the Pasuk? And they sell him to the Ishmaelim with 20 kasef. Vayivius Yosef Mitzrayim, and they bring Yosef down to Mitzrayim. Okay. Vayashu Reuben al Abor. Reuben returns to the pit. Vinein Yosef Abor. Vayikres Begadav. He sees Reuben, he sees his whole plan of, right, that in order to return him back to Yaakov has failed. Yosef's not in the pit anymore, and he tears his clothes. Vayashu Velecha Vayomer Hayalad Enenu Vani Anani Ba. Right, what's going on? He goes back to his brothers and says, "What's going on? Or what? You know, what's going to happen to me?" Okay. Now, why is Reuven? Why was Reuven not there? What's the problem?
Did he go home?
Okay. So Rashi gives two answers. Either Rashi b'mechi rasa lo hayasham shegiyam molelech v'lishamish azavif, which is difficult. His time had come to go back to Mishamish Yaakov. Which is difficult because, I mean, presumably from the time Reuven said, don't kill him, throw him into the pit. Now they sat down to eat a meal, right? And then Reuven goes back to Yaakov at that point. It's a pretty okay. I mean, it's an interesting time to leave.
Yeah, it seems a little selfish.
And then he goes all the way back to Yaakov. He's Meshamish Yaakov, and then he comes back. You know, and they haven't decided what they're going to do with, you know, the, I don't know. It's, okay, fine. It's Rashi. We love Rashi, so we accept it. Okay.
I mean, you do have to say that he wasn't there,
though. He wasn't there? Clearly he wasn't there. Why not?
Well, I mean, it seems like he's, like, leaving it like this, like,
it's strange for him to leave.
Life or death situation. He's like, but no, I want to go learn with my dad. Or, I want to go hang out with my dad.
Right, and right. Guys. It's a strange time for Reuven to leave. And it's very interesting how quickly he goes and comes back. I mean, I guess maybe this took a couple days in between when they sold Yosef and to the time where they actually decide, I mean, were they just hanging around there? I don't know. The whole thing is difficult. My point is not Rashi here. Okay, if we were learning Rashi, we'd have a better answer. Okay, Dover Acher. Also call you Besaka with Taniso Al-Shabil B'Yitzvei Aviv. That Reuven was involved in his tshuva because he was mebalbel yitzei aviv, right? The chet of Reuven, Vayishka Reuven is bilap pilagash aviv, right? That he mixed up the beds, right, of Bilha and and Leia's, I think, right? So, and he was doing tshuva. It was his big chet by Reuven. He was doing tshuva. And somehow, because he was doing tshuva, that necessitated him at that moment to be involved in fasting. And, well, again, strange. He had to leave. Be involved in his fasting and tainus and tefillah. He wanted to be private. So he left, and then he came back. Okay, fine. I mean, again, my point is not to learn Rashi, except to ask questions, not to answer any questions. But the problem is, where's Reuven exactly? It's difficult. Okay. Okay. Now, if you look at Pasuk Lamed Vav, okay, so then it says, V'hamidonim machros al Mitzrayim lepotifar shis parasar tabachim. So the Midonim sell him to Mitzrayim.
I thought it was with Yishmaelim.
Right. Because Yishmaelim, they sold him to Yishmaelim. And it says, right, Vayimkeres Yosef Lishmaelim, right, Vayimshech Vayalis Yosef Min Abor, Vayimkeres Yosef Lishmaelim, Basim Kasev, Vayvius Yosef Mitzrayim, Pasuk Chavchas, Yishmaelim bring down to Mitzrayim, right? And then now it says the Midonim sold him to Mitzrayim. So it was the Midonim, was Yishmaelim, and the beginning of Pasuk Chavchas was Vayavir Anshim Midyanim, so Harim. Right? So that was the Midyanim. So Midan and Midyan are two different people. Lechora, okay? Because if you look, I believe it's Perek Chaf Hey, Pasuk Beis. It's Perek Chaf Hey. Vayosef Avram Vayikach Isha Shma Keturah. Right? This is Avram. Vatelo at Zimran Ves Yakshan Ves Midan Ves Midyan. So Midan and Midyan are two different nations. Okay, so you have a difficulty. So we don't know where this Midyanim come from. All of a sudden they come into picture. What exactly are they doing? Then they sell him to the Yishma'elim, who in theory bring him down to Mitzrayim. And then Pasuk Lamed Vav, the Midanim sell him to Mitzrayim. Okay. And then if you look in Perek Lamed Tes, right, then you have the whole story of Yud and Tamar. That's all Perek Lamed Ches. Right, that's, right, skip that. And the very next Pasuk, after you story of Yud and Tamar, it says, Perek Lamed Tes Alf, the Yosef Hurd Mitzrayim, Yosef was brought down to Mitzrayim. Vaikneu Potifar Shis Paro Sar Tabachim Ish Mitzri Miyad Ishmaelim Asher Yidu Yishama. So Potifar buys him from Ishmaelim, who brought him Asher Hu Yidu Yishama, who brought him down there. What do you care about Pasuk Lamed Perek Lamed Tzayin Pasuk Lamed Vav says the Medanim sold him to Mitzrayim to Potifar. So is it the Medanim was the Ishmaelim? And what were the Midyanim doing over there? So it's a mess. A terrible, terrible mess. Okay? So I'm not going to fully resolve it. I'll tell you a couple Rashi and Ban try to resolve it. And you see the Rashbam and you appreciate it, okay? This is not exactly what they want to get into, but it's just I never really appreciated how confusing it was, okay? Okay, so I'll tell you Ramban first, okay? Ramban's Pshat is really beautiful. And Ramban is, he does a lot of things in his parish on the Chumash, which is, you know, one of the greatest, arguably the greatest parish on the Chumash. And one of his things is so amazing is his pshat. How he learns pshat in the Torah is really wonderful. Okay, one of his wonderful things. So he says like this. He says, I tell you already on that first pasuk, they lift up their eyes and they see a caravan Yishmaelim coming. They identify the Yishmaelim because of their camels. Because he's, right, it's beautiful. How do you know the Yishmaelim? He sees the camels, right? Orchas Yishmaelim. Ugmalehim, and they're the ones who have the camels, the Yishmaelim. He knows they're coming from Gilead because of the road they're going on. And he knows they're going down to Mitzrayim based upon what they're selling. Mm-hmm. Wonderful. And then as they approach closer, Vayavru Anashim Midyanim Socharim, it turns out that no, that what they look to be Yishmaelim at a distance, when they get closer, they realize, right? That's why Yehudin Chav Zion says, let's sell them to Yishmaelim. That's who they believe they were. But as they got closer, they realize, no, these are really Midyanim, so merchants Midyanim. And they just rented Yishmaelim camel drivers. Okay? So the merchants and the owners of the wares, owners of all the, you know, the spices and perfumes, whatever it is, those were Midyanim, Socharim, those are real merchants. But the Yishmaelim were their drivers, the camels that they rented in order to bring it down to Egypt. Okay? And that's why it says, and they sold him to Yishmaelim, because that's who they gave it over to. They handed him over to the Yishmaelim, even though the owner of Yosef was the Midyanim. But the Yishmaelim were the ones who, like, you know, physically took him and put him on the camels and loaded him up. So they handed him over to Yishmaelim, who are the camel drivers, and basically, the hired hands, but the real owners are the Midyanim. And that's why in Pasuk Lamed Vav it says, the Midyanim, who the Ramban learns, the Midyanim and the Midyanim are the same people. It's just missing a Yud. Whatever. You deal with it. There's just there's some things you're not going to be able to work out. Okay? Nobody's...
How does he work out there? The Midian and
the Midianim,
the other
the
place.
Brother nations.
Midian and Midianim, those are, oh, over there you mean? Oh, those are two different people. But over here, it's the same thing. I don't know.
The brothers, they're intermarried.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Very good, very good. Okay, good. Very good shot. He hasn't really mentioned that point exactly. It's just implicit in his shot that they're the same people. Okay, fine. And then why does it say, in Pasuk, and then the Paraklamid Zion, the Midianim sold into Egypt, but in Paraklamid Tess, it says Yishmaelim, right, that Potiphar bought from the Yishmaelim, right, but then over here it says the Potiphar, the Midianim sold him. He says, look, it's the same, basically it's the same group of people. It's the Midianim, Sochar, and the merchants are the real owners. They're with the whole caravan, but the camel driver is one doing the dirty work are all the Yishmaelim. So sometimes it talks about the Shaliach, sometimes it talks about the Mishaleach. And he quotes many other times in the Torah where sometimes you refer to the Shaliach, sometimes the Mishaleach.
Stupid question?
Yeah, go ahead.
What do we need to add all this, like, extra complexity to, like seemingly like I like so there's like a weird order, but like what's the point of like saying like it was really this, that, the other thing, like why did you feel the need to like jump through these hoops and like set up like this complex like,
what's the idea of the whole pshat?
Right.
I know, that was Yaakov's question. This is what I struggle with pshat also, okay? So I've been working on pshat this year. I've been doing medrash for many, many years. I've been working on pshat this year. So I have an idea to add for pshat, but I can't, you know, You have to analyze what is the, you know, I'm not sure if you can ask the same question.
It's got to be a benefit for the Torah to structure it in this way, where we thought it was this, then we really thought it was that, then we really thought
Yeah, maybe you can work something out.
And then missing a unit somewhere, you know, like Marian's.
Like I said, if my shiur was on the Ramban, I would have really put some thought into it. I didn't really think into it. I kind of just like wanted to see what, my shiur's on the Rashbam. Okay. So I'm just giving over the Ramban just to see him work. Yeah, I'm telling you, it's a beautiful pshat. Okay. Now, what does Rashi say? Again, that's not my shiur. Okay. But it's interesting. I didn't really appreciate it. Yeah, go ahead. What?
Okay, let's
just
come.
I'm sorry.
Let's dial it. They all identified as other people.
Okay, fine. Very good, Ariel. Very good. Genius, Ariel.
There's the door.
Genius, Ariel.
There's the door.
Genius, Ariel.
2018.
There's the door.
Genius,
Ariel.
I'm kidding. Okay. Rashi. Okay. So how does Rashi learn? Rashi learns based on Chazal. Okay. It's a Bereishis Rabba. It says v'pasuk chavches v'yavru anashim midyanim socharim. Right. So Rashi says zuhi shiar acheres v'yadicha kasa shininku parim harbe. Okay. So it's really look. They first looked. They saw Yishmaelim. And then a new caravan comes. And the Torah is, why is the Torah telling it to you? Right? Rashi, is he explaining to you? It's because the Torah wants to let you know Yosef was sold many times. Why? Very good with the pshat that Rebbe had. That's I think it's the Bereishis Rabbah says that it was like he was like a difficulty. He was like suffered. From the fact that he was sold many, many times, he's like he had no stability. Right? Part of his travails was being sold multiple times. That was part of what he was psychologically difficult for him. And the Torah really pushed him. The Hashgacha really pushed him into a psychologically very difficult situation. It's trying to break him, almost. Not destroy him, but almost. And then that's part of what was difficult for it was being sold multiple times. He never was able to get settled.
So how does he answer the fact that the brother saw it? Okay.
Where is it?
Well,
where is it?
Where is it or why?
Where?
Pasuk Chavches, Rashi and Chavches. Okay. So that's Vayavru. So the first they see the Ishmaelim, wonderful. Then Vayavru Anashim Midyanim Socharim. That's a new person they sold it to. Vayimshichu Bnei Yaakov Es Yosef Min Abor. So Yosef's brothers Bnei Yaakov pull Yosef out of the boar. Vayimkiruhu LiYishmaelim. Right. So they bring Yosef out of the boar. They sell him to the Ishmaelim. That's what it means. Vayimshichu Vayas Yosef Min Abor is referring to Bnei Yaakov. Vayimkris Yosef l'Ishmaelim, and they sell him to the Ishmaelim, Basim Kasev. Vayivius Yosef Mitzrayim is going on the other guys. Vayishmaelim Midyanim. The Ishmaelim sell him to Midyanim, and Vayivius Yosef Mitzrayim is going to Midyanim. Right? Vayimidyanim, Machu Mitzrayim, that's Pasuk Lamed Vav. You know, Rashi is noticeably quiet. I don't know. It seems like Rashi just took the easy way out by being quiet. Yeah. I guess what he's going to say is like, you know...
The whole process started.
Yeah. The process started with the Yishmaelim, you know...
But that's like...
Yeah, no, it's weak. Okay, fine. Now, Rashi also seems to identify the Midyanim and the Midanim. Okay, they're also the same person. Okay, Ibn Ezra wants to resolve the problem of the Yishmaelim, Midyanim, Midanim by saying they're all the same people. All three of them are the same group.
Doesn't respond most of
them. Okay.
Wow.
Yeah, they're all the same, and he has a pasuk in...
That's my answer.
He has a pasuk, I forgot, where in Tanakh, where kind of shows that sometimes it calls the Yishmaelim, Midyanim. And the Ramban argues with him. He says, no, that's just because the Yishmaelim were kings and they ruled over the Midyanim. Okay, the Ramban and Ibn Ezra get the whole fight.
Over there?
Yeah,
it's whether it's appropriate, whether it's appropriate to ever call Yishmaelim Midyanim. But, you know, all three of them assume Midyanim and Midyanim are the same people, and he holds all three are the same. And
okay, this is, like, overly complex. Like, if it means the same people, then right. Why wouldn't it just say the same people? I don't understand.
Oh, in Ibn Ezra? You have to ask him that question. I never understand the Ibn Ezra.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, Rashbam. Okay, we do the Rashbam. He has that. He still has that. But there's just a certain amount you're never going to get out.
Please, you've been hyping up the Rashbam the whole time. Let's go.
Okay, so let's do another Rashbam first. Okay, fine.
Appreciate the question.
Yeah. You gotta appreciate the difficulties.
You'll never understand the answer.
Right, okay, good. Now, let's say the Rashbam is going to be nice, but not perfect, okay? There is no perfect in this situation, okay? Okay, only Moshe Rabbeinu knew how it was supposed to be. Okay, so let me start. There's a very, it's an important Rashbam, the beginning of Vayeshev. Okay, we'll start with that one, and then we'll, which is the introduction to his whole idea of Omek HaPshat, and then we'll do how he learns this whole story. Okay, so Rashbam is Perek Lamed Zayin Pasuk Beis. Eile Toldos Yaakov. Okay, he says like this. Yaskilu Vayavinu Oavei Sechel. So put your intellect and understand those who love intelligence. What Chazal, what our rabbis taught us? Ki ein mikra yotze midei pshita. Okay, a pasuk with all the drashas you want to have on it, there's always a pshat. You never lose a pshat. Af ki ikara shel Torah ba'as lamdenu ulo di'enu. So even though it's true, the essence of the Torah, the kara, the main thing of the Torah is to teach us and to let us know through allusions in the pshat. The hagados, right, that's like the midrashi hagados, like the stories, or, right, the halachos, right, and halacha, v'adinim, and the laws, through arichas halashom, by using like an extra word, Vayidei Shlosha Mishteim Midah Sherebi Elazar Bino Sheb Yosi Aglili Vayidei Shlosha Shemidah Sherebi Shishmo through the Yigimel Midos, through the Lamed Beis Midos, right? Kala Prada Klal, Binyin Av, Gzera Shava, Kavachomer, right? Through all these different methods, through an extra word, a Riboy, Ribrachamiyot, all the different Limudim, right? The Torah wants to teach us Halachos and Dinim and Agados through all the extra, you know, through the illusions. It's true. Nevertheless, Ein Mikri Yetzer Dei Pshito. There's always a Pshat. The Harishonim, and the ones that came before the Rashbam, meaning Chazal, okay, and the Gonim, mitoch hasidusam, because of their great piety, nisasku lintos acher drashos. They were involved, and they went after, they had a certain favoring after drash. Drashos, halacha, drashos, medrashi halacha, medrashi agada. Okay. Sheheinikar, because they are the main thing, they are the primary thing in Torah. When we talk kachlo hurgulub omek pshito shemikra, because of that, they were not accustomed to the omek, the depth of the pshito shemikra, of simply the pshat in the pasuk. Pshat. Lefisha amru chachamim al tarbu b'neichem b'gayon, and because the Chazal say Gemara and Brachos, chav chesem beis, that don't let your children be too involved in higayon. Okay, we have a girsa. I think it's where Rabbi Lezer told his kids on his deathbed, or not his kids, his talmidim, right, what you should do, is minu b'neichem in higayon, prevent your kids from higayon. Higayon, I guess, generally means like logic, but Rashi said what it means is lo targilam b'mikra yosem yidayim mishum demashcha. Don't get them too involved in learning chumash too much, because they get involved. People like learning chumash. You know what I mean? It draws a person in. It's enjoyable. Do you know what I mean? They get too involved, and they're not going to be involved in Gemara. Okay? Okay, so don't make sure your kids don't really learn too much Tanakh. Okay.
Wouldn't you be learning Tanakh in order to get to this part, though?
What, to this?
To get to this specific brash form that says don't learn Tanakh?
Oh yeah, you shouldn't be
or
doing this.
Right,
don't do
so
this. That's in the Gemara Brachos. That's in the Gemara Brachos. Correct.
Wait, wait, what's in the Gemara Brachos?
Don't make sure, stop, make sure your kids don't get too involved in learning Chumash.
Why?
Because it's enjoyable. It's Moshe Chesalev. It draws them. It draws them. They're not going to learn Chumash. They're not going to learn Gemara and Halacha.
So we should be burning these now?
No, not burning it. Just don't
keep
be
it
so...
on the shelf, Dusty.
You learn, look, once a week we give a Shir and Chumash. Once a week. Okay, but morning Seder, every day, 3 hours a day, you're learning Gemara. You said Chavrusas, says you're learning Gemara.
What do you mean? I don't know how to learn Chumash.
What?
I don't know how to learn Chumash.
You like learning Chumash?
Yeah, I love it.
That's the problem. That's exactly the problem. It's addictive. It's like a drug.
We gain so much more learning Chumash than like learning Gemara. Yeah.
That's exactly what somebody like you would think, and that's why you shouldn't do it.
No,
okay?
We should learn.
If you like, if you love your kids, you'll make sure they don't learn Chumash. Okay. Well.
Thursday and Tanakh, isn't that
a thing? Yeah. Okay. The Rambam.
Yeah.
Yeah. In the beginning. You mean in the beginning?
But this is the thing, isn't it?
No. Oh, you mean your kids.
These kids, the beginning.
Yeah, but third day is Chumash, but then the 2/3 of the day is Mishnah and Gemara.
Right.
Okay, so it's you limit it to 1/3 of the time. You know, you have to set, it's like, Chumash is like, it's like technology, like the iPad. You know what I'm saying? The kids will get addicted and they'll warp their brains. Okay, you got to make sure that they don't get, it doesn't ruin their minds. Okay. That's Gemara and Brachos. Okay, fine. No, but the Rashbam is trying to explain why it, what happened. Why does nobody... What happened to Pshat? You understand there was a revolution that occurred around the time of the Rishonim, of Pshat. The Rashbam, the Ibn Ezra, the Rivash, there's others. But they started learning Pshat. The Rishonim developed the whole idea of Pshat. Now, Chazal, of course, had Emek and Yezi Abshu. They had Pshat. Of course, Chazal had Pshat. But the Rishonim developed it to a certain degree. It was developed, and the certain Rishonim are really Bali Pshat, Radak. Rodfei HaPshat, Ramban calls them. Rodfei HaPshat was a certain group. It wasn't limited to the Chachmei Ashkenaz, the Chachmei Sfard. It was at that time, and the Rishonim. But if you look at Chazal's is Midrash Rabbah, the Tanchuma, right? There's a lot of Midrashim in Chazal, Agados. But how often do Chazal really just push a Pshat? I mean, they do, but the focus in Chazal is much more in Midrashim. Gemara, Halacha, Midrashi Agada. I mean, that's much more what Chazal were involved in. Because that's the ikker. That is the ikker. Even the Rashbam is mode that's the ikker. Okay, or he's just saying that because he's afraid that people get mad. But okay.
Yeah, exactly. You know, next day, okay, fine. Loser, you talk about Tanakh.
That's exactly. Okay, so that's, you know, that's the, okay, that's, and also, fine, Olsik v'gam amru, zikamar b'am etziya, haosik b'mikra, a person who's involved in mikra, in Tanakh, mida v'ena mida, okay, Rashi says that midi hiketzas ve'ina mida. It's something. You're not a totally worthless bum. You're learning Tanakh, Chumash, but it's not really that great. Sheha mishnah v'talmud yafim mena. Mishnah Talmud is better than that. Okay, midi ve'ina mida. Haosik b'talmud ein lecha mida gedola mizu. Person who's involved in Gemara is nothing better than that. Okay, umitoch kach, and because this Rashbam says this was their attitude. This is the belief, and this is true.
Wait.
He's not criticized. Chas v'shalom, Rashbam would criticize Chazal, yeah.
Can I ask why before we accept this premise? Like, why is that the case?
Why is that the ikker?
Correct.
I guess because the Midrashim and the Halachos, they really teach you how to live your life. That's the real core of Torah Shabbat Peh, is coming from the Haggados and the Halachos.
Right.
The Halachic system teaches you how to think, it teaches you a Derech HaChayim. You can't really learn how to act and how to think and the personality of a Ben Torah from Pshat in the Pasuk. Pshat and Pesukim will not really give you the core personality and the ideas and the values of the Torah Shabbat Pesach.
So let me ask a question.
Yeah.
Can you, so you like to say that, you know, you can't have, you know, you don't have Torah without Torah Shabbat Pesach, but can you have Torah without Torah Shabbat Pesach?
No, it's
like,
not.
Can you just, like, let's say I say,
it's,
you know,
Mida.
What,
it's,
heck with this, I'm doing Gemara.
No, look, nobody's saying, you don't know? Be involved in learning Tanakh. It's just don't get addicted to it.
What is that? You can get addicted to Gemara, but you can't get addicted to Tanakh?
There's no such thing
as being addicted. Like,
there's no such thing as being addicted. Being addicted to Gemara is like being addicted to air. There's no such thing. You're not addicted to air. You need it to live.
Right.
But so, like, you know, being addicted to Tanakh, I said, it's like an iPad. You know what I mean? It's like technology. You can't get off it. I'm joking around.
I'm
joking.
I'm trying to see where the joke ends and where, like, truth starts.
That's for you. That's
can
for you.
Help me out over
that's
here.
That's for you to figure out. Okay. And anyway, there is this attitude in Chazal, and the Rashbam is not arguing. It's justified. The essence of Torah Shabbat is not coming from Pshito Shemikra. That's not where it's coming from. That is a way to learn the Torah, and the Rashbam is going to develop it and show you you know, you're missing things, and you're missing the depth of Pshito Shel Mikra. But the essence of Torah Shel Peh really lies in the Midrash Agados and Halachos and the Dinim, because that really teaches you how to lead your life, the values, you know, your personality, your midos, the midos of Kadosh Baruch Hu. It helps you resolve different problems in conflicts and in the pshat itself that are difficult, you know. And that's the essence of Torah Shel Peh. It does not lie in the pshat. And therefore, they focused on that because they wanted to be focused on the Iker. Why be focused in Pshito Shel Mikra, which is a secondary type of thing? Okay, and this was Chazal had this attitude, according to the Rashbam. Okay, Okay, and not that they didn't learn pshat, but it wasn't their main hisaskus. And because of that, mitoch kach, lo hurgulu kokach b'pshuton shel mikros. So they weren't so involved, they weren't so used to involve the simple pshat of the mikra. Of course, they knew pshuto shel mikra, but they weren't involved in developing pshuto shel mikra. Ukedam rinan b'mesech ha-shabbos, haveina bar tam nesar yishnin. I was 18 years old, v'gassin kol temuda, I learned all of shas. I think it was Rav Kahana, I think. Yeah, v'lo hava yadana, de'emek yadei pshuto. And I didn't know the principle of Einikah de Pshuto. So he was 18 years old. There's a bucky in Kol Tarkula and then Shas. Maybe not Kol Tarkula. And he didn't know Einikah de Pshuto. Okay, I don't want to get into that. I think the Rashbam might be taking that statement a little bit out of context. But I don't want to get into that. But we'll stay with the Rashbam's point. Vegam Rabbeinu Shlomo. And also Rashi, Avi Imi. Right? My mother's father, Rashbam's grandfather, is 80. Right? Meir Einei Agola, who really lit up the eyes of the whole exile, right? The Rashi is the head of the Chachmei Ashkenaz. Without him, there'd be no Rashbam, Rabbeinu Tam, Reed, no Bali Tosfos, the disaster to the whole Masorah. Rashi really saved the Masorah, right? Bringing it from Germany to France. Pesha Perish Torn Vimiksufim, right? Who explained Tanakh. Nazan Lev, the Farsh Pshuto Shel Mikra. He also, yes, the Rashbam says Rashi also tried to explain Pshuto Shel Mikra. Rashi does both. He explains the Midrashim, but he also explains Pshuto Shel Mikra. Rashbam is not simply doing something that has no precedent. There is a precedent set by Rashi. There's no better precedent you can have. Rashi did something. It's definitely legitimate. There's no question. Nobody would ever argue on something, an approach that Rashi took. And then Rashbam is getting some of his credibility from Rashi. V'afani, Shmuel ben Reb Meir Chasno. Right? Rashbam Shmuel, the son of Rashi's son-in-law, Reb Meir. Right? The father of the Rashbam and Rabbeinu Tam and the Rivam, Zecher Tzadik Lebracha. Apparently, his father had passed away at this point. Nisvakach Imo, I argued with Rashi. Ulefanov before Rashi, while he was there with Rashbam, I think Rashbam was 20 when Rashi died. Vehodali Sheilu Ha'ilo Penayin. Rashi was moda to the Rashbam that if he had time, Hayitzarich Lasis Perushim Achirim Lefi Apshaltis and Mischachim Bchol Yom. That Rashi himself would have had to make a new parish al Torah. Because of all the new pshatim that Rashbam and Rashi had worked out, every day they're working on new pshatim in the Torah, and he would have to write a whole new parash on the Chumash because of that. Okay? Rashi didn't, but his Einikol, the Rashbam, did. Okay, and we have this, the Rashbam, his grandson, Einikol. Einikol.
Okay.
Okay? Einikol. No, I'm pronouncing it wrong.
Is it Yiddish?
Yeah. Gold school. Of course, yeah. Okay, so that's the Hisakdamat of Yeshev. Okay, good. Omek Hapshat, right? Lohurglu b'omek Pshuto Shel Mikra. Okay, so now let's take a look at the main Rashbam. Okay. So before the Rashbam, it is one thing, okay, according to everybody, okay, who ultimately sold Yosef to down to Mitzrayim. I don't want the intermediary. Who ultimately sold Yosef?
God.
Yehuda. Oh, I don't mean the particular, but his brothers. Right? Ultimately, the brothers sold Yosef. There's a whole chain of events, and it goes down to Potiphar. Right? It's kind of not clear in the middle what happens, but everybody agrees. Ramban, Ibn Ezra, Rashi, the brothers sold Yosef down to Mitzrayim through a whole complex chain that they disagree upon. Right?
Right.
Who disagrees?
Hold on.
But in game, he made it down there.
Okay, so Rashbam. On Pasuk Chav Ches. Vayavru Anashim Midyanim. Okay. So what's going on here? So this is the brothers, right? We'll go back a pasuk or two just to get context. The brothers sit down in Chafei, Vayishu lecha lechem, Vayisu einem, Vayir v'inei orchas Yishmaelim ba migilad. So they sit down, they lift up their eyes, and they see a caravan of Yishmaelim coming from Gilad. Yehuda says, why should we kill him? Litzel lechu nimkervinim karenu l'Yishmaelim. Let's sell him to Yishmaelim. And then pasuk chachas, Vayavru anash midyanim socharim. Right? So Rashbam. Besosha Yoshu lecha lechem, while they were sitting down to eat bread, Urechokim hayuktas minabor. And they weren't eating bread right by the pit. They distanced themselves a bit from the pit. Levilti achal adam, so they wouldn't be eating over. Basically, there at this point, they were letting Yosef die. Right? They were letting Yosef die. He's screaming. We see from Reuven, like, Ava Ashenu Nachla Achino Asherinu as, I forgot the pasuk. We saw his, heard his cries, right? That when we didn't do anything. And then he's crying. Yosef's crying. What, my brother? Are you letting me die? So they're not going to sit down and eat their meal right next to him. You know, it sounds like Rashbam's bringing an idea of a little sochal adam. So when they sat down to eat a meal after they decided for Yosef and Pit to die, they didn't just sit down at the edge of the pit, right? He's pleading for their life. Apparently, you know, it wasn't so easy that they had to harden their heart not to listen to him. So they distanced themselves from the pit to eat bread. Umamtina ha'yilishmeim shiro, and they're waiting for the Yishmaelim, who they saw at a distance. They're waiting for them to come while they're eating their meal. The kodim shebo Yishmaelim, but before the Yishmaelim got there, over an Ashim Midyanim, Acherim Dersham, a different caravan of Midyanim comes. They're Uba Bor, and these Midyanim see a little, you know, 17-year-old teenager crying in a pit, screaming, what are you doing? These Midyanim see him. Umashchu machru Midyanim, Yishmaelim, and the Midyanim take him out of the bor, take him out of the pit, and they sell him to the Yishmaelim. Okay, now look at the pasuk now. Look how beautiful it is. So Yehuda says, L'chuvin k'rein Yishmaelim, we're going to go sell him to Yishmaelim. Vayishmeuchav, and the brothers accept that. Then the next pasuk, Vayavir nashim midyanim socharim. This caravan of midyanim passed by. Vayimshechu vayalis Yosef min abor. And they pull out, and they lift Yosef out from the boar. Vayimkris Yosef Yishmaelim.
So this has nothing to do with the brothers at this point.
There's no brothers.
So they got
Rashi says, Vayimshichu b'nei Yaakov es Yosef min abor. But the pasuk is not talking about b'nei Yaakov. It says vayavro nashim midyanim socharim. Vayimshichu v'yalas Yosef min abor. So who pulls him out of the boar and who vayimkur es Yosef min Yishmaelim? It's the midyanim who passed by.
We seem to be glossing over the pasuk then that says, oh my God, where'd Yosef go? Like what happened? Why isn't
that
there?
Hold on, that's perfect. Hold on, it's good. V'yeshlo mar she'achem l'yadu. You can even say the brothers never even knew. They didn't know what's going on. They're not there. Okay, they were sitting at a distance, they're eating, Midyanim passed by, they're not even aware of it, the Midyanim pull Yosef out of the boar, and they sell him to Yishmaelim. And the brothers don't even know about it. Which explains why Reuven, when he gets to the pit, he goes, where is Yosef? Because Reuven is with the brothers. He didn't go back to Yaakov in this, at the speed of light. He's with the brothers, eating bread. And then when they get back to the pit, he goes to the pit to check on Yosef, and he says, no, Yosef's not there. Why? Because all the brothers were not there. And they're all surprised that he got sold. You don't have to create this whole story of what happened to Reuven. Yehuda has this idea. They sit down to eat bread. They're not right by the pit. And Yehuda says, let us sell him to Yishmaelim. And they all say, good idea. Let's do that. Now they're doing Zimun.
Including Reuven.
And Reuven's there. Yeah, correct. They're doing Zimun. They have 10 people. Right, Binyam Yosef are not there, but Reuven is there according to Rashbam. So they have a Zimun Elokeinu. And then while they're doing this, the whole time is a long meal. And then Midyanim, a different caravan comes by, hears Yosef crying, they pull him out of the pit, and they sell him to the Yishmaelim for 20 kesef. They're the ones who make the money. That's the pasuk. Read the pasuk. Does the pasuk ever say the brothers did it?
Hold on. Huh, there's something on this.
Okay, fine. So it doesn't say it explicitly. It seems like a little misleading. It seems like you're trying to jump through a hoop. Like the Sfarei hoop, it seems like we're trying to jump through that.
What does it mean, Sfarei? This is the Omer Kepshat.
Would Avrek mean pass over, right?
But yeah, what is this Midyanim doing?
I'm saying it fits with the word of Avrek.
That what?
It fits with the word of Avrek.
That they what? They pass?
Yeah. Meaning what? Over the Yishmaelim.
Oh, you mean they passed before them?
Before the Yishmaelim.
Yeah. Oh, I mean they. Okay, you can say that. I think it means they passed by the pit, but okay, I could see that.
Yeah, I have a question. So, did the brothers make money?
According to Rashbam, no.
Okay, so my question is, why didn't they take him back?
Why didn't they?
They could have taken him back.
What do you mean? He's gone.
No, but Oh, he's completely...
He got sold! Moving! Where is he? What just happened? We left in the pit. He's gone. Where is he?
But how did the brothers not to chuck him aside then?
I guess they figured he must have been sold down as a slave. Does it say that they checked for Yosef anyway? In the Pshat, does it say that? Or is that Rashi, that they were looking for Yosef?
I don't think the Pshat says that.
Well, it's a Medrash. It says Vayered Achei Yosef Mitzrayim. So that's the Medrash that they're... But I mean, so what? The Pshat doesn't mean that. It never says Pshat they were looking for Yosef. It's the Medrash. It's Rashi. Okay, but what you should ask me is there's an open Pasuk, okay? If you look, when Yosef reveals himself to his brothers... Bracious memhe pasik dalad. Okay. Pasik yamo.
Doesn't it say bad from the yadim though? At a certain point?
Well?
At the end of the parak?
Oh, well.
Medanim maku.
Yeah, he's going to have to work that out. It's going to be a problem. Well, either we'll get to that or we won't. That's not the... Okay, now look. This is the bigger problem. Okay, this is the bigger problem for the Rashbam.
Good question.
Okay. Vayomer Yosef elecha peraka mem he pasik yamo. Right, Vayomer Yosef Achav, Ani Yosef, Hodi Vichai. Right, I'm Yosef. My father's still alive. V'lo Yachlo Achav Lanos Osu Kinevam Miponav, and they were terrified of him. Vayomer Yosef Achav, Gishuna Elai VeGashu, come close. Vayomer Ani Yosef Achichem, Asher Mechartim Osi Mitzrayimo. I'm Yosef, your brother, who you sold down to Mitzrayim. Okay, so it sounds like, right, they sold him down to Mitzrayim.
Yosef
said that Yosef would know. Yosef was there.
Why would he know?
No, but Yosef.
Well, Yosef would know whether the brother sold him or whether Midyanim took him out and sold him to Yishmaelim.
Not necessarily.
Yeah, they could have arranged it off the side.
Yeah.
That's not bad. Okay, that's not bad.
That doesn't bother.
Oh, you guys don't remember that.
And he knows he was taken out and sold.
Okay, good.
But he doesn't know who.
Okay, good. That's good. The guy's even more generous than he is. So he's like, "What does the Rashbam say? V'afapi asher kasav asher mechaytem osi mitzrayma," which sounds like the brother sold him. Yesh lomar shagramas masehem siya b'michiraso, that their actions caused it to assist in his selling.
Wow, what a weekend.
Okay, but it could be like you guys are saying. I didn't even think about it for a shot. It could be Yosef attributed that ultimately they were the cause of him being sold, or it means what the simple shot is that they were the cause by them leaving him in a pit, abandoned in a pit. You're leaving him exposed to a random caravan coming and taking him and selling as a slave. And then Yosef is blaming them because you caused me to be sold down. Well, did you actually sell me, or you threw me in a pit and abandoned me, and then I got sold down as a slave? Either way, you caused me to be sold down to Egypt. Zeh nir li lefi omek derech pshuto shemekra.
What is it?
The Rashbam?
Yeah.
It's in Chav Ches.
Oh. Chav Ches.
Lamed Zayin Pasuk Chav Ches. That's Rashbam word. Oh, sorry. That's okay, and Rashbam says, this seems to me, according to the omek, the depth of the Derech Pshuto Shel Mikra. Okay, ki vayavru anashim midyanim, it says in the pasuk, vayavru, and then a bunch of people midyanim pass by, mashmai de mikra, it sounds like by an accident, they see there's Yishmaelim coming, and they're going to sound Yishmaelim, and then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, vayavru anashim midyanim, so that means it's by chance, they happened upon the pit. Vehem machru Yishmaelim. And they're the ones who sold Yishmaelim. Okay? So that's the Rashba. Now, in terms of the other one, if you look in Lamed Vav, how he tries to work it out, right, the Midyan, Yishmaelim, he says, it says, Midan and Machos Yishmaelim, he says, Midan and Midyan Yishmaelim Achim Hayu. Right? They're all sons of Avraham. They're all brothers. Umidan v'Yishmaelim Echad Heim Lefi Pshat. So the Midan and Yishmael are the same according to Pshat. Okay, why exactly that's legitimate, I'm not going to get involved in that, okay? Okay, so the point is like this, is without debating the superiority of Rashbam versus Rashi, Ramban, Ibn Ezra, everybody's got problems here and there. It's an unbelievably astounding pshat that Rashbam is putting forward, that the brothers never actually sold Yosef to Mitzrayim. They were planning on it. They were going to do it, but they got beat by chance that Midyanim merchants happened to go there first, pull him out of Yosef out of the pit, and sell him to Yishmaelim, which the brothers were going to do anyway. And Yosef says, "You sold me to Egypt." Yeah, well, you caused it. You caused the responsible. Okay. So What I want to say is like this, okay? Right, so it's an astounding, amazing pshat. And when you read these psukim, you realize Rashbam is right. The Torah never quite says the brothers, you know, sold him. Right? It's just something that, it's just like pasha pshat. When you read it without, when you learn pshat on a basic level, okay? On a basic level, the Torah is presenting it. I think Rashbam, that's what he calls it Omek HaPshat. Because there's a Pasha Pshat. Pasha Pshat is, the brothers say, Yehuda says, let's go sell him to Yishmaelim. And they, Vayishmu Echav, and the brothers listen to Yehuda. And then, Midanim, Yishmaelim, it is confusing, granted, but it says they sold Yishmaelim. And then the brothers get punished for selling Yosef. Yosef says, you sold me down here. They're scared of him. I mean, Pasha Pshat is, and this is the story that everybody knows, and if you watch the plays, you'll see Yosef, you know, the brother sold Yosef. And that is the story, and that is the Pasha Pshat. Any reader of the Chumash, who is not the Rashbam, okay, is going to think that the brother sold him down to Mitzrayim. Okay, unless you really have this sense of this Omek HaPshat of the Rashbam, you're not going to realize there's a deeper Pshat here where ultimately the brothers didn't do it.
Rashi had that Pshat.
Rashi has that the brother sold him.
Why do they have...
Everybody has it, besides Rashbam.
So why is he deviating from the normative pshat? Meaning...
Oh, because he's telling you, if you have a sensitivity to the depth of the pshat, you'll see what really happened. Okay? Now, why does the Torah present it in a way, according to the Rashbam, where in order to figure out that the brothers didn't really sell him down, you need to be the Rashbam. You need to really be able to go into the Omek HaPshat. Why is it presented in a way where the brother sold him down? Okay, so I believe it's like this. The answer is like this, and then we'll take a more general idea in Omek HaPshat. And I think it's the style the Torah does. We'll show another example or two where Torah does this, albeit in a different context. Okay, is that the brothers were absolutely willing to sell Yosef down to Mitzrayim? Vayishmu Echav. They heard Yehuda's plan to sell him to Yishmaelim, and they accepted it. And they were willing to. The brothers put Yosef in a situation where he could easily be taken by a bunch of slave traders and sold down to Mitzrayim. The brothers were completely responsible for him being sold down to Egypt. And Yosef attributes it to him, rightly so. Okay, the fact that by chance they didn't end up selling him, but somebody else happened to sell him, is not relevant. It's true that is what happened, according to the Rashbam. That is what happened. They didn't technically sell him, but they are completely responsible. Okay? In terms of their chait, in terms of their onesh, in terms of what they deserve, in terms of the relationship with Yosef, in terms of what they did to Yaakov, they're completely responsible because
they... All kinds of purposes they did.
Yeah, exactly. And therefore, Maila Alava Kosov, the Pasuk attributes it to them as if they did do it. And it presents the pshat, the pshutel shemikra, the Pasha Pshat, it presents it in a way that they did do it. Because it doesn't want the reader to say, oh, look, they didn't actually sell them down. Why are they getting punished for this whole thing? They didn't actually do it. They were going to, but they didn't actually do it. Somebody else did it. Because it doesn't make a difference. Because your sin, the brother's sin of selling Yosef, is equal to what happened, what actually happened to Kohen Drash Bam, is equal to the fact that they actually did do sell it to him. Yes.
So then, who cares? Meaning, like, you're going through this like intricate like story of like what happened. Like, we got the same idea from it.
Oh, so what you learn a tremendous idea from this. You learn the idea that it doesn't make a difference. Well, if you are willing to do a sin, okay, and you try to do the sin, even though technically you didn't actually do it, but that bad thing occurred because of your negligence.
So that's what he's saying it's equivalent?
It's equivalent. And you're learning that lesson from this whole story. You learn it the might of a cuss.
Is that true though, halachically?
Halachically?
Okay, bro, no, I'm sorry, taboo. But like...
and the Chumash, we're learning Chumash now.
Right, but that's the problem, we're learning Chumash.
Yeah,
we shouldn't be doing that.
Right, Milo Kalakasa. Correct.
No, but...
It's only an hour.
Halachically, if you had intention to do something, right, and someone else came and did it first, right? Is that the same thing?
The Basin's not going to punish you.
Right.
Okay.
Basin's going to punish you for doing that.
The Basin will punish the guy
who did it.
Right. You know. But I mean, but in terms of the Hashkacha, in terms of how God will punish the person, well, God will treat it.
God's evaluating. You know, if I want to murder Yaakov right now, right?
Right. You want to murder him. You place him in a situation where he could die. You were going to do it.
Back to kill me.
And then somebody else kills him because of what you did?
It's like I killed him.
Exactly. You're a tzeach. Okay, that's exactly what it is.
All
right. And that's what it's teaching you. So the Torah doesn't present it in terms of what really occurred. The Torah doesn't present the pashup shot. The omekup shot. It doesn't make it clear to you what really occurred because it doesn't want to obscure the sin of the brothers. So it presents as if the brother sold him because that's what it considers. It considers it if they did sell him. But the Torah is going to teach it to you through it, if you have a sensitivity to omekup shot, what really occurred. Okay? I want to show you another example of where the Torah does this. Much more common. Okay? Much more common. We already had it referenced earlier. By Reuven, yeah, exactly. Reuven, exactly. So if you look in Perek Lamed Hey, Pasuk Chav Beis. Okay. So it says like this. It says, Vayihi Bishkon Yisrael Be'eretz Ahi. So Yaakov was living in that place. Vayilech Reuven Vayishkav Esbila Pilegesh Aviv Vayishma Yisrael. Vayu B'nei Yaakov Shnei Masar. So Reuven went, and he slept with Bilhah, his father's concubine. Vayishma Yisrael, Yaakov hears. Vayu ben Yisrael shnei masar, and the children of Yaakov are 12. Okay. Rashi. Vayishka, mitoch shebilbil mishkavo, maila lavakasuk ilu shachva. Because he mixed up their beds, the Torah attributes to Reuven as if he slept with Bilhah, Yaakov's wife. Why did he do it? What did he do? That he is Mechalo Yaakov's bed. It's a reference to Vayechi. When Rachel died, Yaakov took the bed. Shai said to Nisuna Tadir Be'ol Rachel. Yaakov took his bed, which was always in Rachel's tent. And he put it in the tent of Bila, which was Rachel's maidservant. Reuven came and he was Tovea. He claimed the disgrace of his mother Leah. Amarim achos imi, I said, Sarlimi, if my mother's sister, Rachel, was a competitor for my mother Leah. Shivchas achos imi, my mother's sister's maidservant, tiet Sarlimi, lakach bilbo. That's why he mixed them up. Okay. Okay. Ve'ayibin Yaakov shneim asar. Rabbi Sina Dar Shalandi Basha Kulam Shavim Vekum Tzadikim Shlochat Reuven. Right. The end of the pasuk, it's teaching you that if Reuven had really slept with Bilhah, there's no way you could count him as one of the 12. Right. He's a zechote. He slept with Yaakov, his father's wife. Impossible. So it's telling you Ve'ayibin Yaakov shneim asar means there's still 12. Reuven's part of the count. He's still Bechor Yisrael. Right. B'nei Leah Bechor Yaakov Reuven shows you he didn't really sin like the pasuk did. Okay, like Pasuk attributes it to him. Okay, but what he did is this story, and my love of Kasa, the Torah equates it. So the Torah presents it in terms of Pshat, like Reuven slept with Bilhah, even though in terms of the Drash, the Medrash that Rashi is bringing down, right? It's Gemara and Shabbos and Nehemiah Beis. He didn't do it. Okay, now this is different because this is not the Omek Pshat. The Omek Pshat is like the Pshat that he slept with Bilhah, and Ramban learns the Pshat also that Pshat. Is that he slept with Bilhah. Okay? But the Medrash is showing you, no, according to the in the world of Medrash, Chas v'shalom, Reuven would never do something like that. Reuven did not do that. And Kol Omer Reuven Chata Ein El Toa. And if you think that that's what really happened, you're making a mistake.
So did he or did he not?
Okay. So in terms of the way the Medrash learns, no, he did not.
The Pshat says he does.
Why? Because that sin that he did is equivalent to sleeping with her.
Because
you have to go through Parshas Vayechi. The Chet of Reuven is Mechalo. He lost everything because of this sin. You have to, I mean, I once gave, I think, a shir on it. But
why is it a sin?
Because this, what do you mean? He's Yaakov's son. Who is he to tell Yaakov who to sleep with? You don't tell your father who you sleep with.
Okay, first of all, if you change the bez, it's not like...
No, and he undermined the whole idea of Bechor and Klai. So that's the idea. He's Mechalo. He's mechal the whole idea of the shiftei ka, because the idea of a bechor was a primary idea in Klal. The idea of bechor, it was supposed to be a primary institution of Klal Yisrael. The bechor is the closest one to the father of all the sons. He gets a different chelak. He's rachis ono, a certain special relationship, and he, in a sense, a bechor, the eldest son, is in a certain sense the helper of the father in terms of raising all the other children. He guides all the other sons into the proper derech. He's like, you know, almost an intermediary between the father. He's not quite. He's somewhere in between a father and a son. He's the eldest son, and he has a different relationship. You have to Okay, could be older brother, but the oldest brother is, I think, Ramban, I forgot which one, is that there's a special position in the family of the Bechor. And Reuben was that position. And by him doing this and breaking with Yaakov and no longer representing Yaakov's interests, he completely undermined his position in the Shiftei Ka. And he destroyed the relationship, the ideal of Bechor. He was the paradigm Bechor for all of Klal Yisrael. And ultimately, right, he loses the Avodah, he loses the Kahuna, he should have been the Malach, he should have been the Kohen, should have been Bechors, and ultimately that was lost. Even though Rashi says later on that the reason the Bechor has lost the Kahuna was because of the Chet HaEgel, right? That's the problem. But the reason is because the Chet HaEgel is because the Bechor is their paradigm for Bechor in Klal Yisrael was Reuven, and Reuven was a bad Bechor. He's a failure as a Bechor. And the Bechors in Klal Yisrael, their paradigm for what a Bechor means is Reuven, and ultimately his sin ultimately corrupted Klal Yisrael's institution of Bechor, and it became a failure. And now, instead of Bechor working in the Mikdash, we have Pidyon Bechor, Yepod the Bechor, right? And the Kohanim and Levium work in the Mikdash.
Isn't that just because of
the Chet HaEgel? Yeah. The Chet HaEgel is because of Reuven. Ultimately, it's because of Reuven, that the Bechors were involved in it. Okay, that's because you see the same. The Bechors were involved in it. No, it's not Sheir Reuven. The Bechors were the ones who were involved in the Egel. They're the ones who offered the Karbanos at Har Sinai. And their paradigm, who they looked after, or Bechor, the idea of Bechor and Klal Yisrael is set by Reuven. Is B'nai Le'a Bechor Yaakov Reuven. He's the Bechor. You can't change that.
So it's like Reuven to Yaakov and
all the Bechors.
And all the Bechors to God.
Correct. And all the Bechors to every other family. He's the paradigm of what a Bechor should be. Right. But his sin was Mechalel. Is a Chilel of the Shechina. Is Mechalel the Shechina. Because the Yaakov setting was setting up Shiftei Ka. Ultimately, his sin had a permanent impact in Klal Yisrael. It was a defect in the whole system of Klal Yisrael. And you have to go to a secondary system. Levium, being the workers in the Mikdash, is a secondary system. It's an inferior formulation of Klal Yisrael that would have been had Reuven not sinned. It was a terrible sin. If you look in Vayechi, look what Reuven lost, right? And look at the bracha, if you could call it that, we do, of what Rabbi Yaakov gave to Reuven, right? And the point is don't think. You see, if the Torah told you that he switched the beds, you would say, okay, he switched the beds. Okay, but it's a big deal. My love, because the Torah is telling you, don't say that. You're not recognizing the significance of this sin, the impact it had on his relationship with Yaakov, and ultimately the impact it had on all of Klal Yisrael. And he is Mechalel the Shechina. Right, Az Yichalal Tzuyeh Allah. He's Mechalel, the one who goes up on Yaakov's bed. The Shechina. It was a tremendous chilul, and the Torah is in my love akasef. Okay, because it's not a small deal. Okay, yeah, go ahead.
I understand the idea, but why is the pasuk described as being against Bilhah? What did he do there?
He switched her bed.
Wasn't it Yaakov's bed?
It was the Yaakov's bed from the tent of. Right. Right, correct. So he attributes as if he slept with Bilhah. Why is it sleeping with Bilhah? What?
It's not like the case of the brothers that actually wanted to sell Yosef. He didn't want to sleep with her.
Oh, I mean, why does it say it that way?
Yeah.
That's a good question. It's a good question. I don't know.
Because like you just said, then besides the seriousness of it.
Right. I guess it's saying is the effect of Reuven's sin was as if he had slept with her. As if he had slept with her. Not just moving the bed out of her tent, but as if he had slept with her. That was the effect of his sin. Where it completely destroyed his relationship. And you see with Yaakov, and you see, and the brothers. Because Reuven says, let's throw him in the pit, and he's planning on selling him. And then Yehuda comes along, and they listen to Yehuda. They don't listen to Reuven. Right, they don't care about Reuven. And then when Reuven wants to convince the brothers, the who's the leader? Yehuda, not Reuven. He lost his position of being the leader of the brothers because of his sin.
Yeah, but I could screw that by saying later on, in an open pasuk, when Reuven criticizes them for doing whatever they did to the brothers.
Yeah, he wanted to save them. He wanted to save them.
No, but the brother said, if you had told us what to do, we would have listened to you.
No, that's Yehuda.
No.
Yes, that's Yehuda.
No, to Reuven.
They didn't say it to Reuven. They said, that's Yehuda. That's a Rashi by Yehuda.
It's by Yehuda.
Yeah, you'll find. It's by Yehuda. It's Vayered Yehuda Me'esachav.
Perek Lamechas. It's by Reuven. It's by Yehuda. Reuven didn't...
No, they wouldn't listen to Reuven. They don't care. And that's why the Medrash says, if you appreciate now the Rashi, why does the Rashi say, that why did when Reuben was involved in his tshuva, okay, Reuben was involved in his tshuva, and that's why Yosef was sold, taken out of the pit. Why is Rashi bringing that up? It's because the chet of Reuben is ultimately why Reuben had no sway over the brothers. He wanted to save Reuben. He wanted to save Yosef, but he was not in a position of power over the brothers to tell them what to do, because they didn't respect him anymore. And later on, when Shimon is taken as a prisoner, okay, and they want to convince Yaakov to send down Binyamin, Reuven tries to say, send him down with me. And Yaakov says, Bechor Shota Hosea. He said, Bechor, Hoshne Banaya Amos. Because Yaakov doesn't respect Reuven. The brothers don't respect Reuven. Reuven lost his position in the family because of the sin. So the Torah wants to show you the seriousness of what his sin was. So in the world of Medrash, what really happened? What did actually happen? Okay, according to Medrash, what really did happen is that he slept with her. Is that he's in Mevalbo the beds. But the Torah considers it. The Torah wants to tell you, my love of Kosev is a fidib. Okay, because it wants you to know. Now, it's very different. The Rashbam is saying the Omekab Shah is that they didn't really sell it to you. But the Pshutos HaMikro is that the brothers did sell them, because that's what the Torah considers it. Here, it's different. We're saying the Drash is that Reuven didn't sleep with her. But the Pshutos HaMikro is that he did, because it wants to tell you what it considers it. Okay? One more example, and then we'll wrap it up. Another example is from... is by Shlomo. Just because Rashi quotes it, I'll mention it. There's the Gemara in Shabbos, Nedheim and Alfta, and Nedheim and Beis, and Nevavim and Beis. It goes to a few cases. If you think David sinned, you're making a mistake, right? And Yoshio, I think it says he made a mistake. And you also have it by Shlomo. By Shlomo Melech. So it says, okay, let's see. The Rashi quotes it in Bishalach. On the first pasuk of Az Yashir. So it's Perek Tesvav Pasuk Aleph. So it's Oz Yashir, right? So Rashi says Oz Yashir, Oz Keshira Neis Ala Belivo Shiasha Shira. So when he thought that he's going as Machshava, he intended to do it, right? It's Chishu Belivo Lasos, and he says V'chein Bekulon, right? V'chein Bekulon Chutz Misha Shlomo Shepirshu Bikish Livnos V'Lobana. Right? It's Oz Yivne Shlomo. Right, Bama. Pirshu b'chachach meisok. It says Shlomo built a Bama. Right, like they built like a Bama to avodah zarah. Right, how could Shlomo do it? Shlomo wrote Kohelis, Yashirim, and Mishlei. He started building things to avodah zarah. So it's there's shebikish nos v'lo bana. Right, it's he wanted to. My love of kasev because his wives were doing it, he didn't stop them. Okay, so but the pshuto shemikra. If you look at the pshuto shemikra, it says he was building a for avodah zarah. Okay, you found it.
Well, I found a pasuk that Reuven is actually super for you. I found a pasuk that says that Vayam Reuven Otam Limor Halo Marti Alehu Limor Al Techtu Beyelad.
Right.
Velo Shematem Vegan.
They didn't. They're right. Velo Shematem, and they didn't listen to him. But then when Yehuda said it, Vayishmoachav listened to Yehuda. Why? Because Reuven is doing tshuva for his sin. Because Reuven was a chote. Exactly. Very good. Thank you for the ride, Ariel. Thank you. Okay, good. Okay, but the point is there are times.
All I have to say is I remember speaking about it with someone.
Okay, fine.
Respectable.
Are you blaming somebody else? Is that what you're doing?
Okay. Okay,
don't worry about it. Okay, fine. So the point is like this: is the pshuto shel mikro. By pshuto shel mikro, I mean the pashup shot. When the pashup shot of Tanakh, okay, it's trying to convey how the Torah considers what a person does. And the Pshuto Shemikra is not always in line with the historical reality of what occurred. What actually occurred is not... The Pshuto Shemikra is telling you how the Torah views it. Okay? Sometimes the Medrash is what really occurred. And the Torah is just telling you Pshat, what it considers it. Sometimes the Omek Pshat, like in the case of the Rashbam, is what really occurred, and the Pshuto Shemikra is telling you how the Torah considers it. Okay, so Pshuto Shel Mikra, the Pasha Pshat of the superficial way, when you read the Pshat, what it seems like is going on, without going to depth, or without learning the Drash, is not always historically what actually occurred. It's the Torah is presenting it to the reader. The simple reader is going to take simple Pshat and wants to convey to the reader what it considers this Chet to do. It's trying to teach basic ideas of Schar V'Onesh, and Chet, and Tshuva, and things like that. It's trying to teach that idea through the simple Pshat. And you have to know, don't think that the historical reality, what actually occurred, is always in line with the Pashup Pshat. That's not what Pashup Pshat is. Simple Pshat is not historical reality. It's how the Torah considers the sin. What actually occurred, sometimes the Drash is going to tell you what happened. Sometimes the Omekah Pshat was going to tell you what happened. Sometimes the Pashup Pshat was going to tell you what happened. Okay, it's not always clear. There is no, I don't, as far as I can tell, there's no way to discern what historically always occurred from the Torah. Each, the different methods of Torah are telling you something. You kind of have to use your intuition, sometimes, you know, of what, you know, obviously certain things, there's a limit to what you can say is which one is the historical reality, and it's a whole study in its own right. But I don't know if there's a simple rule where you can say which one is telling you what exactly occurred. Is there certain cases where the Pshat is one way, but Chazal are telling you that's not what happened? And if you examine the Pesukim closely like the Rashbam, you realize that isn't what happened. And the Pshuto Shemikra is writing in a certain framework. It wants to convey to you certain ideas and will present the story in a way where if you don't really examine it through the Drash, Vayibin Yaakov Shnei Masar, through the Omekeb Shat, Vayimshichu Vayalu, that you're not going to realize what really occurred, and that's not necessarily the concern of the Pshuto Shemikra. Yeah, go ahead.
So how would you, how would you deal with, the Rabban Rashi?
They're telling you that's their own Pshat. That's fine. They're telling you Pshat.
So how do you discern between simple Pshat and
Omek Pshat? I mean, you see, you know.
Is Rashi's Pshat the simple Pshat?
Rashi, I'm not sure if Rashi's Pshat at all. Rashi might be a Medrash.
Because I can tell you, the Rabban has a completely
thing. It's based on Medrash and Medrash. I know, but sometimes the Medrash is telling you Pshat also.
Because I know, because I've been doing the Rabban lately, at least in Bereshit a lot.
Rabban does everything. Rabban does Pshat. He explains Midrashim. He explains Remez. So Rabban is full of, it's everything. Rabban is really, like I said, it's a marvelous parish. It has everything. It's wonderful.
Like one of the questions he has, you know, like basically, you know, because Yosef was friendly with, you know, like the Bnei Shimon.
I know the Machlokes.
It was like five on like four and like.
I know. He argues whatever. On that Rashi. But Bnei Bil and Bnei Zilpah.
So the question is, how do you, you know, like.
No, I mean.
Then how do you choose? Obviously.
You're not choosing. You're learning. You're learning different.
You're learning. Right.
You're learning different approaches that are showing them. Yeah, very. No. You're learning the different approaches. You're learning the different approaches. And you know, it's okay to choose if you like one better. Do you know what I'm saying? That's fine. You can. Yeah. I think that's a good thing. I think you should have a preference. No, you can have a preference. If one works out smoother, you like the ideas of one more, there's nothing wrong with it. This is not halacha. You're allowed to choose which pairs you like more. But, you know, I think in terms of the general idea of Pshat and Medrash and the Ramban is the best, I think. His parish is the best for getting the differences between the two and the relationship between the two. I think that's one of the Ramban's... Between Pshat and Medrash and Remez and the different ways of learning the Torah. The Ramban's parish, in a sense, he deals with all of them, and he's dealing with the relationship between the two sometimes. You'll find him dealing with that more so than I found in... Rashi also, but it's more subtle in Rashi. Much better to the Ramban is really Ramban, to get the methodology of learning Chumash in the multiple ways. Ramban is really the ikar parish for them.
The Ramban by the story with Dina,
right?
You know, like I think the Ramban was like, did you ever do that one?
I mean, I don't know if I recall it.
You know how with Shimon and Levi wiping Ashkham, that Ramban that over there.
You mean the Machlokas with him and the Rambam?
Yeah.
That's a different thing.
But not just that Machlokas. just the whole story. How, like... Because if you look in the Pesukim, like the Rabban, one of the Rabban's question is that Yaakov had to have known that they were going to go to Shechem and take back Dina.
Right, of course. He just didn't know they were going to kill them.
Yeah.
Right, correct.
So, like...
No, I mean, he's...
That's not simple shot. Like, I didn't know about that. I didn't know about that until, like...
Just because you don't know it doesn't mean it's not simple
shot. I don't think most people knew.
No, look, listen. That's part of the Rashbam's point, and that's part of what I'm saying. There's this group of Rishonim who really developed the idea of pshat. They said, you think you know pshat, you don't know pshat. That's the thing. The Ramban's pshat by Yosef, the Mechir Yosef, is unbelievable. How they see these camels, they're able to infer it's coming from Gilad, it must be Ishmael because of the camels, and then it comes by and it's really the Midianim who are merchants who are hiring camel drivers. That's a very plausible thing. That it makes sense of all the Pesukim. Ramban is really beautiful. So I'm saying the Ramban really, he also, with the Rashbam, he develops also Pshat. You see, that's Rashbam's point. He's writing to you. He wants you to appreciate that even though Chazal might be involved in Midrashim a lot, and Rashi also a lot of Midrashim, but there's a whole world of Pshat. There's a whole world of Pshat that's waiting to be developed. And the Rishonim, they did that. And there's Pshat does not mean the simple reading of the Pasuk. Okay? Pshat is a whole way to read, and there's tremendous depth in Pshat. It's not easy. There's a whole method of learning Pshat. There's a world of Pshat, and it's not just the superficial reading. Okay, sometimes the deep Pshat is to learn a Pasuk metaphorically. You know, it's if you look in the Rashbam by Tefillin, right, by Zikron Ben Einecha. So, and then the bow. So, it's there's a lot of subtleties in the methodology of Pshat. Pshat does not just mean simple Pshat, you know. As I say, I'm trying to distinguish between the word simple Pshat, which is almost like the way a child would read it, how you would, you know, and then the real method of learning Pshat. Okay, the real method of learning Pshat is not just the superficial way of learning the Pasuk. That's what Rashbam teaching you. Yeah, go ahead.
So, what's the value mainly in the real Pshat?
In the deep shot?
Yeah, I understand here he's telling you what the Torah really thinks, but
in general? Yeah. I mean, you have to, each time, you have to kind of see what's the concept do we derive? What do you learn from it? You have to take each case on its own. It's like a new story almost. It's like a new story different than you would have, than you originally thought. And you have to learn what the Torah is teaching you.
It's not Medrash?
Medrash is also, it's just a different method of learning the Pesukim. They're not that they have different methodologies. But like each time, it's like any Medrash, you have to take what's the Medrash telling you, what's the story it's giving you, and what are the lessons you learn from it. Just like you have to analyze the Pshat on a deep level, and then once you have it, what is the message the Torah is teaching you? Now, I've been trying to figure out, definitely for me, it's much harder to get ideas from the Rashbam. I think it's harder to derive meaningful ideas from Pshat. Much easier to derive meaningful ideas for Medrash. And then the reason is because you don't, like, the whole idea of what a Jew is, a Ben Torah, it comes from Medrash. You know, the idea of the Mesorah and a Ben Torah and a Talmud Chacham, the idea of a Talmud Chacham, it's created from Medrash. That's what it's from. It's not from Pshat.
Why do you need to get ideas from Pshat? Why not just learn Pshat? Why does it have to apply to your everyday life?
No, I mean, he's just saying, well, you want it to be more than just facts. You want it to be informed. Because you want to learn something, not just a bunch of facts.
I mean, that's what Pirkei Avos for, and that's what Mishle is for.
There's Chachma to be derived from the Torah. It's not just a bunch of facts. You have to, there is, you have to know the facts, but I mean, I think putting it all together, there should be further ideas that informs your ideas of God, your ideas of how you relate to people. It should have an impact on your life. It's not just, you know, learning facts, I would think. I don't know if every single case, sometimes it might just be telling you the facts. It has to tell you the facts because it's presenting a story and it's certain things are necessary to know, you know. But I mean, I would think that more often than not, there's something to be derived, a lesson to be learned in some way. But nevertheless, in that framework, the Iker is really Medrash. That's, you know, the whole idea of... Yeah, go ahead.
Another question. Do you think it would be... this may be like a silly question. Do you think it may be beneficial, or maybe not beneficial, whatever, like fun? It could be fun. But like to...
Patience.
God, this is beneficial. Just because you wait for it doesn't make you more intelligent.
No. Okay, is that it?
No.
Very nice, thank you.
To speculate your own...
Your own shatim? Yeah, for sure.
And then compare it to see how much...
I think in terms of coming up with your own shat, is you're more likely to do that than to come up with your own drash. Coming up with your own medrash is very difficult.
Well, first of all, what's the difference between a medrash and a pshat?
I was hoping you knew that. But that's a study. It's a study in its own right. I don't have a definition off the cuff. But I mean, that's what, honestly, that's, I think, when you're learning Rashi, pay attention to these things. Pay attention when he says, Darshu Chachameinu Zatzal, and when he says, Lefi Pshito Shemikra. When you're reading the Ramban, pay attention when he says, Lefi Pshat, Lefi Derech Pshat, Lefi Derech Hadrash. That's what I'm saying. Pay attention to these Yishonim. These Yishonim are involved in that. It's important. And you'll get a feel and you get a sense. I don't have a quick definition You know, you develop an intuition of what's medrash, what's pshat. It is important. It's important to know the difference between the two. It's important to know the difference between them. There's value in knowing there's different methodologies. There's different objectives. Medrash has a different teleology than pshat. That's a different shir. Okay.
I'm not sure. It has to be.
I don't know.
No, I can't.
Any more questions?
No, you can.
Yeah, go ahead.
What? What is revenus exactly?
That's a whole other study.
I know. I
think that's when there's a correspondence between metaphysical ideas and concrete physical things. Hmm. Like learning the Mishkan, it refers to intellectual concepts. It's like remes. But I don't know. That's possible. That's what's my one of my things. I could be wrong. Good? Very good. Okay. Yeah.